Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to the Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 25, Chatushloki, verses of 3. Today we have special speaker Her Grace Kitira Sundari Mataji to enlighten on this topic. So, Hare Krishna Kitira Mataji, I welcome to the call and thank you so much for giving your association and enlightening on the topic of Chatushloki Bhagavatam of verses 3, Mataji. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Shyama Sapriya Mataji, for your ever beautiful chanting, your warm welcoming. Thank you so much. And thank you everyone who have joined us today. Thank you so much for all your wonderful association. So we'll start. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So, we are in this Chaitanya Charitamrita session where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is imparting this whole knowledge to Prakashananda Saraswati. And while describing, he mentions about the Chatur Shloki Srimad Bhagavatam, the four main key verses that Krishna spoke to Lord Brahma. So, we have already discussed the two verses of Chatur Shloki, but now today we'll discuss the third verse. So, Chatur Shloki Srimad Bhagavatam comes in the second canto, 9th chapter, from verse number 33 to 36. So, second canto, 9th chapter, verse number 33 and 34 have already been discussed. Today we'll discuss the 35th, and in future, as time permits, we'll do 36th. So let's recite the verse first. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2. To chapter 9, verse number 35.
Yatha mahanti bhutani bhuteshu uccavacheshvanu pravishtani apravishtani tatha teshu nateshvaham.
Translation: O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time they do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Chari Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivat Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So Hare Krishna, dear devotees, I just beg blessings and prayers from each one of you so that I can serve today and I may impart the right knowledge which has been imparted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as been counted by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and ultimately being written by Srila Vyasadeva as Krishna imparted this whole knowledge to Brahmaji. So I beg blessings from each and every one of you. Vanchakal Patare Vishya, Kripa Sindhu Vayavacha, Patita Nampa Avanevi, Vaishnavevi, Namo Namo. So, this 35th verse, Yatha Mahanti Bhutani Bhuteshva Uccha Vacheshvanu, प्रविष्टानि अप्रविष्टानि यथा तेषु न तेषु अहम्. सो लेट्स सी फर्स्ट दैट वाट इज द फर्स्ट टू वर्सेस वी रेड एंड देन वील मूव ऑन टू दिस थर्ड वर्स. बट इवन बिफोर दैट लेट्स कम ऑन टू द अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ वट वॉज द क्वेश्चन दैट वर पुट फॉरवर्ड बाय लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा. So Brahmaji, he asked four questions and two questions have already been answered. The first question that, my dear Lord, you are transcendental, so how could you manifest in the form that is visible to my eyes? That we discussed in the first verse of Chatur Shloki, where the understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth was established. Now in the second question, he asked, how do you manifest all different energies by which creation takes place? And this was answered in the second verse of Chatur Shloki, where the understanding of Maya was established. Now in the third question, which is in the 28th verse of the ninth chapter of the second canto, where Brahma is asking, O master of all energies, please tell me philosophically all about them. You play like a spider that covers itself by its own energy, and your determination is infallible. So in short, now Lord Brahma is asking Krishna that, oh my Lord, now how do you play with your different energies? Now this will be the answer in this today's third verse, where we understand that how the material nature is being established. Right? So understanding of material nature. First verse was understanding the absolute truth. Second verse was understanding the Maya. And third is now understanding material nature. So as you all know, and yesterday also when Prabhu was putting up this point that how our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy encapsulates the three main essence. What is that? That is the knowledge of Sambandha, knowledge of Abhideya, and the knowledge of Prayojana. So Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan is encapsulated in almost everywhere you see. Like he was giving the examples of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was giving the example of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also giving the example of Shikshashtakam, the key eight verses that were written by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly, these four verses of Chatur Shloki Bhagavatam also has encapsulated this essence of our philosophy, which comes through Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayojana Gyan. So, the first verse and the second verse that deals with Sambandha Gyan. The first verse that we covered was about Sambandha Tattva, Sambandha Gyana. But the second verse that we did was about Sambandha Tattva, which is of Vijnana. That how there is a difference between Jnana and Vijnana, right? Jnana is just the knowledge and Vijnana is the applied knowledge, that is the wisdom. So we did with that, all that. And now the third verse, it deals with the Prayojana Tattva, right? So now as Brahma was asking these questions, so when he asked all the four questions, Krishna, he answers, right? So before answering, it's a famous verse, right? We have already dealt with that verse in our first and the second session. But just for a recap, I'll say it's text 31. And it says, Sri Bhagavan Vacha, Jnanam param guhyam me tat vijnanam samanvitam saharasyam tadangam cha grahana gaditam maya. So he's saying, yes, I'll answer all your four questions, and this all four questions will have these four things. First is the Jnana, that is the Sambandha Jnana, which we already dealt in the first verse. Then he said Vijnana, right? Then that is, we did with the second verse, that is the Sambandha Tattva, but it deals with Vijnana. And the third is saying Saharahasyam. So now this third verse, that is the Prayojana Tattva, that will deal about the sarahasyam. Sarahasyam means the most confidential. Sar means superlative degree, right? Sarahasyam. Rahas means
the confidential knowledge. And what is that confidential knowledge? About the prema jnana, about the devotional service. And then finally, in the next, it will be the tadangam. How we can take up that process, that is the abhidhya, the activities involved. Right. So this was just the recap that, you know, I just want to establish before, so that we can build up a context that actually what we are reading and what's the topic of today. So in this verse, the relationship of God with the material world is further analyzed. So, how the two verses prior to this, that is the first verse we saw, that how Krishna says that I only exist before creation and I only exist now and I will be existing in future. And the second verse says that anything that appears meaningful, but if it's disconnected with me, then that is illusion, how we understood Maya. And now in the third verse, he is stating that what is the relationship between me, that is the Lord, and the material world. And how to understand this relationship can lead us up to the Saharahasyam. How can we go up to the level of Prayojana Tattva, and then who basically can understand this relationship of the Lord. So this will be the topic that we'll be dealing today. So as you all know, that how Krishna in this world, how he is present. The famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, it comes in 7.7, the 7th chapter, 7th verse. Matta paratam anya kinchid asti dhananjana mai sarvam idam proktam sutra mani ganava. So he is saying, O Dhananjaya, O Arjun, O conqueror of wealth, there is only one truth and there is no other truth that is superior to me. And that truth is, what is that truth? My sarvam idam proptam sutra mani gana eva. That I act as a thread of the necklace. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So when we see a necklace, we only see the pearls or we only see the stones, but we don't see the thread that is binding those pearls or binding those jewels. We don't see that. But without the presence of the thread, the pearls don't hold any value. The necklace will not be completed. So similarly, Krishna is saying that everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So let's understand this, the topics that we'll deal today. So elements, we all know that the gross elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether, the Mahatattva, you know, these elements, they enter in this world, they have their separate existence also. It's not that when they have entered into the world, they lose their existence. Similarly, when Krishna enters into the world, at the same time, he has his separate existence. We all are familiar of the word transcendental. How often we use this word transcendental, right? Especially Prabhupada, right from the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita and of even of the beginning class of the self-science or self-realization, this word transcendental is so often used that even a 3 or 4 year girl who is brought up and born up in Krishna consciousness know this word of speaking transcendental. Right, so what actually this transcendental nature of the Lord is? Right. The transcendental means something which is beyond this matter or beyond this material world. So actually the word transcend means something to go beyond a particular range or a particular limit. It means to surpass a certain limit. That you say it transcends that limit, right? So that is what the transcendental nature of the Lord is. So Lord is present in this material world, as was mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Sutre Mani Gana Eva, and
he is also beyond this material nature. That is why he is also known as Adhokshaja. Because what is the meaning of Adhokshaja? Someone who cannot be perceived through our material senses. So Krishna, though present through his plenary portions in this in this material world, but at the same time, he is transcendental. He surpasses all our material conceptions, and that is why he is known as Adhokshaja. Now let's come back to chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna asks Krishna, please tell me in detail of your divine opulences by which you pervade in this world, right? So that I can know you. By seeing something in this material world, I may remember you. So that means that Krishna is also present in this world, but at the same time, he is there in his eternal abode too. So Krishna goes on explaining, and he says that I am the one who is seated in the hearts of all living entities, Sarva Bhuta Sesita. And then Krishna goes on explaining that how among Maruts, I am Marichi, among demigods, I am Indra, among Vasus, I am Agni, among mountains, I am Himalayas, so and so forth. He keeps on describing. Oh God, manifest in this world, but at the same time, the Lord has his own eternal position in the world that we cannot perceive right now, which is transcendental to our eyes. Similarly, when we say about the holy name, when we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, when this holy name, what this holy name is, this holy name that we chant is also the transcendental sound vibration, as Prabhupada describes. It's not the ordinary sound of this world. This is coming directly from Goloka. Goloka Premadhana, right? It's directly coming from Goloka. But at the same time, the same holy name is chanted by our material throats, by our tongue, which is material. Right? So, but that doesn't make the sound vibration material. See, the point that I'm trying to make you understand is that something which is being chanted by our material throats or some material element doesn't make that sound vibration material. So if someone says, when Krishna says that I am the Himalayas, among mountains I am Himalayas, among demigods I am Indra, that doesn't mean that Krishna belongs to this material world. Krishna is present in this material world, but at the same time he is transcendental. You cannot perceive through your material perception. Another example, we see the deities all around the world. Those deities are made up of material objects like stone, like wood, like marble. But all these are material, right? But once the pran pratishtha is done, then the same object becomes transcendental. We don't recognize the deities now as a wood or as a stone or as a marble. Now we know that they are not material, they are transcendental, and now we address them to various names like Radha Gopinath, Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, right? So we now understand that relationship with that Supreme Lord. So the crux of this is that yes, Krishna enters into the world, but at the same time, he does not enter into this world. God is present everywhere, but everything is not God. This is what is the good rahasyam, the most confidential knowledge to be understood by this third verse. that God is present everywhere, but everything is not God. Everything is energy of God. So everything is respected, but it's not that everything is God. Example. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked this question by Hiranyakashipu, that where is your Vishnu? And then what Prahlad Maharaj said, that my Vishnu is present everywhere. And it is said that when Prahlad Maharaj spoke this, then actually Vishnu was present in every atom, because he knew that now is the time when I have to come out. So he was present everywhere. And then finally, Hiranyakashipu asked that, is your Vishnu present in this pillar? And then Prahlad Maharaj said, yes. So he struck that pillar and finally Narsingadev appeared. So now that pillar is not Narsingadev, but Narsingadev came out of that pillar. So similarly, we can understand that, yes, God is present everywhere. He was present in that pillar. But that pillar is not Narsingadev. Right? This we have to understand. Krishna enters into, enters in the heart of everyone as Paramatma. We all know Krishna is present. Like Brahma Samhita, Prabhupada quotes, Andantam,
Andantarasa Paramon Priyantarasa
Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He's saying that, yes, by my internal potency, by my transcendental existence of knowledge and bliss, I expand myself and I am the one who enters into every atom of the creation. And then another verse, Ekvapya Surachitam Jagadanda Kotim Yachaktirashi Jagadanda Chaya Yadanta Andantarastha Paramanu Chayantarastham. He's saying, I enter into every existence of every universe and every particle of the atom, and thus unlimitedly manifest in this entire infinite energy all over the material creation. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vadami. So these are the few examples in Brahma Samhita that is quoted by Lord Brahma only, that how Krishna is present in each and every atom of this each and every universe. Andantrastha Paramanu Chayantastham. He is present in every universe, in every atom. Right? But that doesn't mean that Krishna, it belongs to this world. Krishna has its own individual existence in the abode which is transcendental to us. That is his own permanent abode, that is Golok Vrindavan. So this is the confidential mystery, that he is present in every atom of every movable and non-movable object. But at the same time, we can see him that he is in his own abode performing various pastimes with his eternal associates. And who are also actually the expansions of his own transcendental nature. Now this vision is the real mystery of spiritual knowledge. Now the question comes that yes, but who can actually have that vision? Who can see the mystery of this most confidential knowledge, that yes, the Lord is here present in every atom, but they can also see the Lord exhibiting various pastimes with his pure devotees. And that vision can only be imparted to one who can see the Lord in his transcendental feature, enjoying in his eternal abode. That can be imparted to one whose heart is pure. And to that,
Brahma Samhita describes Premanjana Churiti Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achinta Guna Sarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So for pure devotees, since their eyes are anointed with that kajal, you know, when you put kajal in your eyes, then your eyes becomes more enhanced. So the pure devotees, they put kajal, they anoint their eyes with the beautiful kajal. And what is that kajal made up of? It is made up of love of Godhead, premanjana, prema. It is made of totally prema. When they put that anjana, that eye, that prema anjana, that eyes which are anointed with the love of Godhead, then the Supreme Lord is visible. But he is invisible to all such mental speculators. And so for this, you know, the confidentially mystery doesn't unfold to them. But for pure devotees, it just works as if they are seeing some television, some movie, some images that has been going on. Let's see an example. So in Bhakti Ratnakar, Srila Narahari Chakravarti, you know, he quotes a beautiful pastime that how one day in Vrindavan, Srila Rupa Goswami, he was sitting and meditating. He was in totally rapt meditation, feeling so much bliss in his heart. So while he was sitting in his samadhi, he observed a beautiful pastime. And what pastime he observed? The gopis were decorating Srimati Radharani, while Krishna stood behind her watching. Krishna revealed his presence to all the gopis, to all the sakhis, bringing so much joy in their hearts. But Radharani was simply unaware that Krishna was present there. And in so in many beautiful and wonderful ways, the gopis started decorating Srimati Radharani, especially started decorating her beautiful hair, braiding it nicely, putting so many beautiful jewels in her hair. And then when they dressed her, they placed a mirror before her. And as she gazed at her beauty of her own face, Radharani also saw Sri Krishna's moon-like face in that mirror. And just seeing that face, Radharani became so much shy and she quickly covered herself with her cloth. The gopis happily started laughing at this. And finally, seeing all the gopis laughing, Srila Rupa Goswami also burst in laughter. So we all know that how Rupa Goswami saw this whole movie, this transcendental movie, this beautiful pastime, and he started laughing. Now he was in this world. He was literally meditating. So he was sitting in this world, but he was seeing the object of the transcendental world, Krishna's abode, because his eyes were anointed by the love of Godhead. So he could see, Lord could reveal his pastime to Srila Rupa Goswami. And then we know that how this pastime, you know, covers up that how a man was Krishnadas, he was coming, and when he saw Rupa Goswami laughing, he got offended because he was lame, and then finally he went to Sanatan Goswami, and then actually that this example comes in that how we should be careful of committing any kind of Vaishnava prad. But I thought that this is such a rapt example to quote that how this mystery of this transcendental knowledge of Lord Sri Krishna gets unfolded to the pure devotees whose eyes are anointed with this love of Godhead. So now the elements also we see, because see what the translation says, that O Brahma, please know that the universal elements also enter into this cosmos and they do not enter into the cosmos. So Krishna is giving the example of those gross elements. They enter into the cosmos, but still they have their own individuality. And then he is quoting that similarly,
I also exist, but at the same time, I do not exist. So let's see now how Krishna is saying that the elements are also present, but at the same time, they are not. Right? So the elements enter into the body, but at the same time, they do not enter into that body. What does it mean and how we can comprehend this? Now, this also we'll understand with an example. So we know our body is made up of earth, water, air, fire, and ether. Now, let's consider this just one element, which is fire. Now, if we localize and think about it, so where this fire is present in the body? So actually, there is no particular place where we can say that the fire is present in the body as a fire itself, as the form of fire that we see, that we perceive. Because if fire is present anywhere in any part of a body, then body will be burned. But fire is actually distributed in the body. And fire is not exactly the same form of fire that we perceive in this world. The fire, we know that it infers the existence of heat. So heat is present where fire is. So if we see that there is some amount of heat or temperature in a body, then that indicates yes, the fire is present in the body. Also, as per Ayurveda, we know that the digestive process that happens in our body involves some metabolism, and that metabolism requires some heat also. So Ayurveda says that yes, there is presence of some agni, some fire, which is known as the jathar agni, that is present in our digestive system so that whatever we eat can be easily digested. This jathar agni is also known as fire, which is present in our body. But it's not the same fire that we perceive in this world, because if that form of fire is there in our body, then our body will be burned. We know that if we touch some hot object, that how even our finger, when it gets in contact with that hot object, we get a blister on it, right? So if that form of fire is there in our body, then definitely the body will be full of such kind of blisters. But in other sense, yes, since there is a presence of heat, that fire is present. And as per Ayurveda, this jathar agni, this digestive fire, is present in our body so that the food can be digested. That is why, you know, in Ayurveda, it is said that as soon as you eat your food, do not drink water. Do not drink water as soon as you eat. Immediately after eating food, the water should be avoided. Why? Because the fire is kindled inside that digestive system so that whatever we are eating, the food can be digested, can be burnt into various elements. But if we drink water, then that fire, that digestive fire, that jathar agni gets extinguished and the food is not broken and it stays in our body as it is, which produces various toxic elements. So the food has to be digested. It has to be burnt into various elements, and that is only possible when that jathar agni is there and we don't extinguish it by drinking water. So in this way, the fire is present in our body, but at the same time, the fire also has its separate existence also. So fire enters within the body and is also present outside the body. Similarly, God exists in this world, but also exists outside the world. This is how we can understand. Now, let's also understand one last thing, that how to understand God through this material nature, right? Remember the third point that we stressed was that this will tell about the understanding of the material nature. First verse was understanding of absolute truth. Second was understanding of Maya. And now third is about understanding this material nature. So we know the famous verse in Bhagavad Gita, Maya adhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. Where Krishna says that this material energy is one of my energy and is also working under my direction. Maya adhyakshena. Adhyakshena means under my superintendence. Adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means someone who supervises. Right, like a teacher or a principal, right? When they supervise, they are known as adhyaksh. So now Krishna is saying this material nature works under my direction. That means I am the one who is supervising this material nature and under its own rule. And now there are certain rules being settled for this material nature under which that rule, the material nature works. So under its rule, this manifestation is created, is annihilated again and again. Understood? Let me speak once again if it is not clear. That yes, this material nature works on its own. It has certain laws through which this material nature works. Every time Krishna doesn't come and intervene, there are certain laws under which the material nature works. It gets created and it gets annihilated. Right? But the same material law that is being put, that is being made for this material energy to work, is being made and put forward by Lord Shri Krishna. Because he is saying that it's under my nature only, through my energy, this material nature is working under my direction, under my superintendence. Maya adhyakshena prakriti. To producing all moving and non-movable things. Suyate sa characharam. But understand, O Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, understand this, that this material nature also works under its own laws. But those laws are made by myself. I am the one who makes this law. Right. So Krishna performs miracles. Yes, we all know Krishna is the the supervisor of this material nature, and that material nature works under the direction, but at the same time, Krishna do perform miracles, but not all the time. Why? Because Krishna never intervenes in this material world. There are certain laws, certain modes which have been designed under that the Lord works, or the world works under, runs on that basis. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need the Lord anymore. You know, the Mayavadis or the impersonalists, they are, even the atheists, they propound this philosophy that now the Lord, yes, the Lord was there, you know, he put up those rules, some laws, and now this world is working on to those laws, so now we don't need Lord anymore. So that is the wrong concept. That design was initially made by the Lord, but now the Lord is not intervening. He is just acting as a supervisor. But that doesn't condemn the presence of the Lord. That doesn't mean that we don't need the Lord. We don't need Lord anymore. How we can understand? Let's take an example. We all know that how a clay pot is being made. You know, the clay pot, it needs the potter. The potter puts his hand into the mud and how he makes it run over that wheel and he turns it into a beautiful shape and how the clay pot is made. Right. But now if someone designs a machine to make the clay pot, then every time there is no need of a potter to put his hand in the mud and make that pot. There are certain laws, there are certain directions in which the working of the machine is such that the clay pot can be made on its own. But still there is a supervision that is required even for that machine.
So Krishna also respects the laws that he himself has made for this material nature, and he do abides to it. But if he so desires, he can also go beyond these laws also. It's not that Krishna is bound by these laws. Yes, Krishna do abide with this law, do respect these laws he himself has made, but that doesn't mean that he cannot change the laws or that he cannot go beyond these laws. This is the point that we have to understand. For this also, let's take another example. The pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill. So if someone can come and defy the supremacy of Krishna and say and can ask that how Krishna lifted this Govardhan on the little finger. Because if you want to lift something, you need to know the center of gravity. If you want to lift a book on your hand, then you need to pick up that book in such a way that the center of gravity comes right in the center. Otherwise, the book or any object which you have placed on your hand will bother. It will fall off. Right? So they also question on Krishna's pastime of lifting Govardhan Hill, that how Krishna put his finger right in the center or to balance the Govardhan. Otherwise, it will fall off. But the point here to understand is that Krishna does not have to find the center of gravity of that Govardhan Hill, because he himself is the center of gravity. The law of gravity acts on the will of Krishna, and whenever he wants, he can simply reduce or even finish the law of gravity for that sometime. If he wants, he can do that. He can go beyond this material nature. Yes, law of gravity works and he respects. But now when it comes for Krishna to perform some miraculous activities, he doesn't abide to those laws and he can easily go beyond those material laws because those laws are made by him. He himself is the lawmaker. So this is the point that we have to understand. God works under the mechanism of nature, but at the same time, if he wants, he can work through supernatural, through his miraculous interactions, and both are true. Both are true. Yes, law, Krishna abides to those laws, but at the same time, if he wants, he can go beyond it. So this is how the material nature work under laws, under Krishna, but Krishna also takes care of those laws. And thus, this established the supremacy of Lord Shri Krishna. Now, this is what, you know, I just want to say, but again, the point to understand is that how it brings sarahasyam, how it brings prema to the Supreme Lord, how we can understand that sweetness of the Lord. Remember, because we say that this verse established the Priyojana Tattva, that the prema Tattva of the Supreme Lord. Yes, it do establish. First, everyone cannot see this verse as establishing that prema, that rahasyam, that surahasyam, that everybody cannot see. Who can see? Only those whose eyes are anointed with the love of Godhead. Because they are the one who can see the presence of Lord in this material nature, who is present as Paramatma in every living entity's heart, but also who is having his own eternal pastimes with his own eternal associates and his own eternal abode. Right. So it's only those whose eyes are anointed can see all these things. Secondly, the general question sometimes is asked that if we keep on, thinking about the supremacy of Krishna, that how Krishna is so great, then won't it be an impediment for us to understand the sweetness of the Lord? You know, this is quite a genuine question.
which is asked. But yes, we have to understand that Krishna has two aspects, his greatness and his sweetness. But we cannot relish the sweetness if we don't understand the greatness. So first we have to understand the greatness of the Lord, and then only we can jump and understand the sweetness of the Lord. So basically, those who say that understanding supremacy of the Lord acts as an impediment to understand the sweetness of the Lord, that is incorrect. Actually, to understand the supremacy or greatness of the Lord works as a stepping stone so that we can step on it and finally reach on to the point to understand the sweetness of the Lord, which is prema, which is love of Godhead, which is the highest, which is the prayojana tattva. Okay. Like Srila Prabhupada always stresses on to the point that yes, we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam right from the first canto to ninth canto first, and then jump on to the tenth canto. Because tenth canto reveals only the sweetness of the Lord. But if we directly jump on to the tenth canto and we see those verses of Gopi Geet, see those verses of those Virha Geet, see those verses of that Venu Geet, if we see those verses, then we will commit an offense, because at that time we'll regard Krishna as an ordinary person. But if our mind has been absorbed with that knowledge that yes, Krishna is not an ordinary person, but he is a great, he is actually the saman bonum of everything, and he is so supreme, then we can relish those pastimes. So understanding the supremacy of Krishna doesn't act as a blocker, doesn't act as an impediment to understand the sweetness. Rather, understanding the supremacy of Krishna acts as a stepping stone on which we can step and understand the sweetness of Krishna. So, you know, once even Srila Prabhupada was asked that, oh, Prabhupada, can you please say something on Rasa Leela? And then Prabhupada said, before understanding Rasa Leela, understand his Kurukshetra Leela. And what is that Kurukshetra Leela? Is understanding Bhagavad Gita, where the whole Bhagavad Gita was spoken to establish Krishna's greatness. Actually, Krishna's greatness was revealed in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada said, first understand his Kurukshetra Leela, and then understand his Rasa Leela. Because if we directly jump onto the Rasa Leela, then definitely some offenses will be created. So that is why this verse is being established, that how understanding the position of Krishna in this material world, his presence in this material world, but at the same time understanding his transcendental activities, his transcendental abode, and his transcendental nature is what combines to understand this prayojana tattva. That is why this word is being referred as prayojana, where Krishna himself says to Brahma that yes, I'll reveal it to you, but first understand the sambandha, then understand the prayojana, the goal where you have to go. And what is our goal? Is to anoint our eyes with that ointment, with that kajal of that love of Godhead, so that we can see the presence of Krishna everywhere, in this world as well as in this transcendental abode. So we have to reach that point. That is the goal. That is the prayojana. And now in the last verse, we'll deal with how, what activities we should perform so that we can reach to that goal. How we can become the instrument in Mahaprabhu's or Krishna's or Srila Prabhupada's mission. As Brahma asked that, yes, my Lord, three questions are there, but my last and the foremost question is that how I can become an instrument in your creation. So I'll stop here. Thank you all so much for patiently listening. This is really a very, very deep subject matter, And somehow, whatever I could understand, I was able to explain, but I don't know how much I was successful in that. But if you read the purport, everything is from the purport. Believe me, Srila Prabhupada has done awesome. He has literally done an awesome thing for all of us. He has written such an elaborated purport. If we read the purport of all these verses, we can come to know that what we are talking about. So thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Kirti Rasundari Mataji, for another fantastic class. It was very clear, absolutely very, very clear. At least I could follow every word that you said mostly. How the first one, first Chaturshloki verse was Sambandha Gyan, first and second was Sambandha Gyan, third is Prayojan, and then we are going to do Abhidev. Right?
Yes.
Okay. And then, this point of how Krishna is present in everything, yet he is beyond everything, the examples that you gave about Lord Narsingadev and Prahlad Leela, and how only when you have eyes anointed with love you can really see that, like Rupa Goswami in his pastime of seeing the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, and how the elements are present. Yeah, even I was curious to know about that, and thanks for giving the example of the fire inside and outside the body, but still everything, all these elements are under control of Krishna. For me, what really stood out was the point that you made, that yes, Krishna can perform miracles because he is actually the lord of these elements. He can control these elements the way he wants, but still he doesn't interfere with it all the time. And you gave the example of the machine. So continuous micromanagement of the process is not needed, but definitely supervision is needed. And of course, and the other beautiful point I really enjoyed was the lifting of the Govardhan, where you said that Krishna doesn't have to obey the rule of the center of gravity, but yet, because he himself is the center of gravity, so that was some place where he showed his superiority, or rather, he's the controller. It made very good sense, Mataji. The entire class was very, very good. The last point that you were making about, I don't know, suddenly just slipped out of my mind now.
Greatness and sweetness.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Greatness, yes. And sweetness.
Yes. So the greatness and sweetness. So my understanding, or rather how I was trying to, you were telling, right, Prabhupada said you first need to understand the supremacy, then only you can come to the platform of having this spontaneous love for Krishna. So oftentimes this question is asked, so if I know too much of his greatness, will I forget the sweetness, and why I should know the greatness? Is it enough if I just know the sweetness? And these things are always being asked. So it appears, I don't know if this is the right understanding from your class, what I understood is that unless you have a strong sambandha in terms of understanding his greatness, you cannot attain the prayojana, which is love of God. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
We have to understand first the sambandha. First we have to understand the relationship. Only then we can relish the sweetness. That also happens, and we see in this our material world, between our relationship of a husband and wife. You know, we cannot relish the sweetness of each other. The spouse cannot relish the sweetness unless and until we have that relationship with that. So the sambandha, right, is very important to know the prayojana tatva.
Wow, very nice. Thank you, Mataji. Another excellent class, and very inspiring. But yeah, I still have to do the class one's notes, but the other two has fallen in place very nicely in my mind, thanks to you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Deepa Vilashmi Mataji, for giving this opportunity. It's such a deep subject matter.
Amazing job, Mataji. Amazing.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Dasundari Mataji. Exactly what Piti Vilasni said. Wonderful class. She pointed out all the points that I was also thinking of, so I won't repeat them. But it was fantastic. I love the way, you know.
Oh,
for me,
Mataji, you should repeat, because when we hear from you, it's a very, very, it's very different, Mataji. It feels so good.
Yeah. Well, I was just, you know, I never understood these verses, I'll be quite honest. And the way you laid it out, and you said read the purports, it's all in there. Well, my mandamati, right? My brain is a little dull, so a lot of times I don't get it. So when you explained and laid everything out so wonderfully, it was quite amazing. And I'll just add one point that I was thinking of. It's interesting that you were quoting the verse Premanjana Chosita Bhakti Vilochanena and Santa Sadaiva. And we were just listening to a class yesterday, Prabhupada's class, and he was quoting that verse, and he was saying the word Sadaiva. And you know, when I read these verses, we kind of get I get the general gist of what's being said. But when Prabhupada, when he's giving a class, he'll just pick one word from that verse and he'll give you a whole class on that word. And he was talking about the word Sadaiva, and he was saying that Sadaiva means always, forever. So that they are always seeing the Lord because their eyes are always anointed with that love. And it was just that thought, you know, immediately brought me back to thinking about Srila Prabhupada. And he was saying also that, and because you're always seeing the Lord, you're always protected and you're fearless. So, you know, it just kind of amazed me because, again, of course, he called it the love ointment. He said, your eyes will be anointed with the love ointment. But when he said that you're always fearless because you always see the Lord, it just kind of hit home to me that how Srila Prabhupada was able to really see the Lord everywhere. And the other thought that came to my mind after that was that how another classmate listened to Guru Maharaj's class, and he was talking about how Krishna had, Srila Prabhupada, had a relationship with each of the deities in all of the temples that he had established. Mm-hmm. Again, it's just to me the way the classes that I listen to and then you give a class, no matter who's speaking, whether it be Srila Prabhupada, whether it be Guru Maharaj, whether it be a devotee, you know, these messages just keep coming back. So much, there's so much sadam, so much depth in each one of these verses and in the philosophy itself that it quite amazes me. And I am amazed by Srila Prabhupada every single solitary day, actually probably every single solitary hour that I listen to something. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Paneshri Mataji, for bringing up this point that, yes, Srila Prabhupada's lectures are so straightforward. And at the same time, you know, this is how we should always study. Like when Prabhupada says, study my books, he means that we should understand each and every word of that shloka, that verse. We have to understand it. And each and every line of the purport, we have to understand it. This is how we study. No, while making notes. So thank you for bringing up the point. And yes, Sadaiva, that it always, and we should have no doubt about it because our acharyas have exemplified all this. That's how they are always, you know, the Krishna Leela, the Srimati Radharani Leela is always manifested in their eyes. So thank you so much, Paneshwari Mataji, for bringing up this point. And yes, you know, we all should make it a habit of hearing at least one lecture of Srila Prabhupada every day. I mean, that's really very important. Even my Guru Maharaj, you know, he stresses on this point. You don't hear my lecture, that's fine. But at least every day, hear Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Thank you. Thank you so much, Paneshwari Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, and Kita Sundari Mataji.
Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, very nicely summarized. Yes, yesterday we were hearing this lecture and today the same thing. I cannot describe like Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji, but so nicely she described Mataji. And thank you for reminding us that we should always hear a Prabhupada lecture every day. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, I have one question in understand. Did I understood correctly or not? Mataji, you were saying that Krishna is present everywhere, but you were giving the example. I don't know whether this example that I was thinking in a small knowledge of my understanding, like there is a signal everywhere, but you need a device, like you need a TV or you need a phone to connect to that. But actually speaking, signal is everywhere. So in the same way you are talking there about Prahlad Maharaj, Mataji, I did not understand. when Prahlad Maharaj started reciting, then only the Narsingha came. What is that, Mataji, exactly? Can you repeat it again, Mataji?
Yes, your point is right that the signal is everywhere, but we need to have a device through which we can connect to that signal and connect to that frequency, right? And even in Prahlad Maharaj, what I was telling the past time, that when Hiranyakashipu asked that where is your Lord, is he, then Prahlad Maharaj said, my Krishna and my Lord is present everywhere. So actually our Acharya stresses on this point, and when Prahlad Maharaj said that Lord is present everywhere, then actually the Lord was present. We all know that, yes, He is present in every atom, in every particle. But at that moment, since Prahlad Maharaj said that my Lord is present everywhere in every atom, at that time, our Acharyas explained that at that particular moment, the Lord actually manifested Himself in every atom because He didn't know from where He has to come out. And then immediately, Hiranyakashipu said, is your Lord present in this pillar? And then, you know, Lord manifested from pillar as Narsingha Dev. So this is how the Lord keep up to the words of His devotees. That if a devotee said that, yes, my Lord is here, then the Lord has to be present. He is so bound with the love of the devotees that He makes His appearance from that place. Got it, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, now I understood clearly. So there, to please the devotee and devotee's words, and to make devotee's word, pure devotee word correct, that's how Narsingha Bhagavan came from the pillar. Yes, Mataji, now I clearly understood.
But at the same time, we have to understand that that pillar is not Narsingha Dev. He came out from that pillar, but that doesn't mean that the pillar is Narsingha Dev. The Lord has His own identity. Narsingha Dev appeared from that pillar. So I was making up this point that, yes, God is present everywhere, but everything, we cannot say that everything is God. It's not that now we started worshipping that pillar, that, oh, from that pillar, Narsingha Dev appeared. Yes, from that pillar, Narsingha Dev appeared, but that pillar is not Narsingha Dev. That was the point that, you know, at this pastime of Prahlad Maharaj came.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. And I really like that the example of that pot making. You are telling that there is a super, supervision needed. There should be somebody who is checking out of it. Otherwise, everything will go back. The same way, everything here now thinking that, oh, we can do this one, we can do that one. We are doing everything. Scientists think that, but everything is coming from the matter which is Krishna given us. Like that, everything, there is some Krishna. Without Krishna's will, nothing is happening. That really you explained very clearly, Mataji. Thank you so much. So beautiful class, Mataji. Hari Bol. Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Vinita and Darvika, Mataji. Thank you for your sincerity.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, in this regard, Vinita, Mataji, what you were saying, I remembered a joke. It has such a high philosophy. That once, the scientist came in front of a god, and the god and scientist, they were talking, and the scientist said, oh, now we don't need you. You know, you have made so much, and you have already done all your creation. Now we don't need you any longer, and we can make all those clones and all everything. So there's no use of you. And the Lord said, oh, really? Then why don't we just get into a test? He said, oh yeah, I can make clones, right? And now it's so easy. Then Lord said, okay, you make one living entity, make a clone out of it, and then it can be proven that, yes, you don't need me any longer. And the scientist said, yes, and he started making, and Krishna immediately, he stopped him, he intervened, and he said, hey, bring your own ingredients. So there the conversation got stopped, that yes, now we do things, that scientists do things that we don't need, and we can create our own, but you need those ingredients, and those ingredients are coming from the Lord Himself. So that's what, it's a joke, but it's such a high, deep message that yes, we do need Lord always.
Thank you so much, Sunita Mata.
Thank you, Mataji, for sharing that. That was so sweet, very nice. You understand very clear how we are foolish people thinking that we can do everything, you know. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Rasundari Mataji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam. You cover so many points, and like Mataji, now by hearing your lectures, now it's clear one by one. For me, I am very 0.0% devotee, Mataji. Explain Sambandha Gnana and Prayojan. Now, Mataji, clear by your sincerity. And Srila Prabhupada Mataji, and Mataji, you explained so nicely that Sanatana Goswami is seeing that Leelas, and Radharani is become sigh, and all the gopis become laughing, and Sanatana Goswami is also laughing. So Mataji, it reminds me that whether it's Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Gopalakrishna Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, Bhakti Sik Maharaj, or Radhanath Maharaj, or any Maharaj, Mataji, they also can see Vrindavan Dham Leela, and maybe they also talk with the Guru Parampara and Srila Prabhupada Mataji, and by that inspiration, whatever they instruct us, it's directly affected. So today's class, Mataji, like sitting in Sri Radha Gopinath, and Srila Brahmachari is explaining the Leelas, and so nicely you explained the Kajal, love of Kajal. And Mataji, you also explained so nicely that we have to read Shishi Bhagavatam, not like, I finished Shishi Bhagavatam. No, Mataji, we have to understand slowly and slowly, slowly. After 25 years working, now I get a break. So I will read again slowly, slowly, slowly. And not jump, like I will do like first four, then six. No, I will not do like that. Slowly, slowly go, and you explain so nicely about the Gopi Gita 10 canto. When we understand, when we read first 9 canto so sincerely, so many things today you cover, Mataji, and 90% is clear, Mataji. Koti koti dandavat pranam. It is very, very amazing class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for all your sincerity, and I'm so glad that the right message was passed forward. So thank you so much. But still, I'll say all glories to our Guru Vargas, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, you know, we are nowhere to understand such high subject matter. It's only by their mercy that we are able to understand. And as you said, that all our gurus, all our acharyas, they are seeing that Leela. They are seeing that Leela every day. And that's why they are able to pass on that beautiful message to their disciples. So that reminds me of such a famous verse we sing every day, right? Shri Radhika Madhavara Para Madhuriya Leela Gunarupa Naam Naam Pratikshana Vasana Pralupasya Vande Guru Shri Charanara Vande. But how the pastimes of all this, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they manifest in the heart of the spiritual masters every moment. Their qualities, their names, their forms, their pastimes, everything gets manifested in the eyes, in front of the spiritual masters every moment. And we bow down to those, you know, of their love in us. So, thank you so much, Mataji.
1 minute, Mataji, 1 second. You explained Bhama Sahita's sloka also very nicely. Can you please sing 2 slokas? Please forgive me.
From Brahma Samhita?
Yes, you sing, you explained, yes, so Mataji. Nicely, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, sure.
If you are not tired, if you are not tired.
Oh, yes, Mataji. I'll honor that request. But let's see if we have any other questions.
Hare Krishna, Kirti Rasundari Mataji. Oh, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna.
Oh,
yeah,
have
go
you
ahead.
Said, are you sure? Did you have a question? Because I only have one small comment. Just one.
Yes, yes, I would like to hear your comment too, Mataji, please. Hare Krishna.
Oh, well, you know, when we were discussing about Krishna's greatness and his sweetness, I was reminded of an analogy that I heard one time and it really touched my heart, you know, explaining why it's important to know not just about Krishna's sweetness, but about his greatness. And the analogy, if I can repeat it somewhat properly, is that, you know, just imagine somebody is working as a janitor in this great big prestigious office building. A very lowly position. And then the CEO of the company comes and offers to give him a hand, you know, to help him out with his very menial labor, you know. So if the CEO comes and wants to help you in this way, it's quite a different effect on the heart than, let's say, if maybe that janitor's colleague, you know, a fellow janitor also came to help him, you know. It's just, you know, because the CEO, you know, he's in such a high position, you know, it just really touches the heart if somebody in such a high position comes and helps you who are in such a lowly position, who expresses such concern for your life and your welfare, that he is willing to, you know, do such a thing despite his very high position. You know, so knowing about Krishna's greatness gives us an increased experience of his sweetness, you know, a sense of his sweetness that we would not experience if we didn't realize how great he is to be caring for us, for us who are so insignificant, so infinitesimal as we are. So that was my thing I wanted to share. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, beautiful comment. Yeah, beautiful comment and beautiful thing, beautiful analogy, Gaurangi Priya Mataji. But here also, see the point. You know, that you mentioned yourself, that if a janitor is there and if a CEO of a company comes and lends its hand, that touches the heart of a janitor. But if another janitor would have come and would have helped him in or given him an helping hand, would the heart, the transformation of the heart would have been the same? No, it would have been. But now when the CEO of the company comes, It touches the heart of the janitor. So the point here is to understand the person, that the person is not an ordinary another person, a janitor, but rather he is a CEO of the company and he himself is coming down and helping him and lending him his hand. So this is what, you know, we were establishing, that first we have to understand who that person is. If we know the greatness of that person, the more the greatness, the more we'll relish his sweetness. And as you so beautifully mentioned, thank you so much for bringing up this point. It's really worth referring in future, that if we know that, yes, he is the CEO, then the more he's great position he is in, the more we'll relish his humble nature of coming and lending his hand. So thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you also for a very wonderful class, as always. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. It was worth the wait, actually. Gaurangi Mataji brought a wonderful point. Mataji, so very, very beautiful class, Mataji. I have to go back and listen to the second verse also. But you said everything is in the purport, and I'm trying to read it, and processing it is so difficult. But when you are explaining each and every line by line of this, it helps so much. Thank you so much. Really, really grateful for your wonderful service to all of us, Mataji. Okay, Mataji, so I understood when you say that although the Lord is present in everything, everything is not God. Okay, it's just like how you were talking about the fire in the body and the what is it? It doesn't mean that that's the fire of digestion, and that's different from the fire that we perceive outside. And so we are not that fire, right? So same way, just because God is in us doesn't mean that we are God or someone is God. So, okay, where does this consciousness fit in? Does that come with a presence? You said God is present in every atom. So wherever God is present, does that consciousness come in or not?
Wherever God is present, the consciousness is present. It depends, Mataji. See, everything, it comes through His energy. I'll not say that if the Lord is present in that stone, so the stone also develops that consciousness. God is present in every movable and immovable object, but that doesn't mean that everything becomes chaitya, everything becomes conscious. But like even in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Krishna says that everything is my energy, my inferior energy, my superior energy. That inferior energy is what we perceive as like wood, stone, some, you know, non-movable object. But it is actually the energy of Lord. Like we see a table. A table is made up of wood. A table is an inert object. But we have to understand this table also has the energy of God. Why? Because this table is made up of wood and the wood is coming from the tree. So this is how we perceive that, yes, Krishna is present in every atom. But at the same time, we have to understand that it's not that everything will become chaitya, everything will become conscious. It's not that. Like, if a stone doesn't become conscious, or a mount, or you can say a wood, it doesn't become a conscious. But when the same wood is attached to a tree, then the tree itself becomes conscious, because that is present. So we have to understand that through His energy, the Lord through His energy pervades in this entire universe. Even as He is present as a Chaitya Guru, or you can say as a super soul, it's Krishna's energy through which He is present and He is seated in everyone's heart. I hope I could make you understand.
Yes, Mataji. So it's okay to divide them as living and non-living, right?
Oh, yes, definitely. That's what He says. Animate and inanimate
objects. Okay, right.
I'm present in everything. That's what He says.
Right, and okay. Yes, Mataji. Yes, okay, so just got diverted when you were talking about the rock example. I was just thinking, so mountains, they are not essentially living per se, but they do grow.
Yeah, because they have a personality. Like we say Himalaya, so there is a Himavan. There's a personality behind all these.
Okay. Yes, we associate it with a personality. Yes.
Okay. I think the confusion might be that, you know, a personality sounds like consciousness, yet you're also saying that consciousness is not necessarily present. Maybe that's the confusion, I don't know. It sounds like that might be.
Is that in the entity? Can you explain it again?
I'm sorry, Mataji.
I was wondering if...
Can you frame it again?
Excuse me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was wondering if it was confusing that, you know, if we say that there is a personality behind, you know, stone like Himalayas, yet we also say that consciousness is not there.
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, but we do respect the Himalayas. It's not that. See now, for example, this earth. We know this is Bhumi Devi, right? There is a personality. But how we treat earth, don't we step on it? Don't every day we ramp on it, we stamp on it? It's not that we can avoid that. No, we cannot. But at the same time, we are so much respectful to Bhumi Devi. We understand its position, her position. That's why, you know, in the morning also it is said that as soon as you step out of your bed and you step on Bhumi Devi, you should offer your prayers to Bhumi Devi. But at the same time, it's not that we always think, oh, Bhumi Devi is a personality, I just cannot stand on it. Our every object, our bed, our table, our chair, that everything is present on Bhumi Devi. In that way, yes, she is conscious, and in that way we have to be respectful. But at the same time, you know, we just cannot stop ourselves on standing on Bhumi Devi. But she is a personality. We do respect her as a personality also. Another example, Tulsi Devi. Right now, actually, Tulsi Devi is right in front of my eyes. So that's why how this example came in. Tulsi Devi is a personality. We worship her as a personality, right? And we consider her as a personality only. But at the same time, when the water is needed, or when the mud is needed, or when the fertilizer is needed, or sometimes when insects come, we do spray some chemical, not actually the hardcore chemical, the natural chemicals, but we do spray it on it. So it's not that if some person is spraying, can we spray something in their eyes? No, we cannot. She is a personality. We are conscious about that she is a personality. But at the same time, the due maintenance that is to be taken to take care of Tulsi Devi, we have to take care. Sometimes we have to keep her in sun. When the winters come, we have to take her inside. So all these things have to be performed. But at the same time, we are conscious that this is Tulsi Devi. She is Tulsi Maharani. There is a personality behind it. But the consciousness itself of that in a form of a plant is not high enough as compared to the consciousness of a human being. That is, of course, there is a difference. Hope you are able to get it, Mataji.
Got it, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Yeah, that was just... My question was basically around the fact that where there is a Lord, or where his energy exists, there should consciousness also be present. And it need not necessarily be the case, except for, you know, when we go to the source, of course it is. Like for plants.
Of course it is. Like the table. Yeah. Like the table example I gave. Right now this bed or this table or this chair, which is made up of wood, is not conscious. But at the same time, we have to understand this is from the inferior energy of the Lord, which is wood, which is coming from the trees, which are conscious.
Right. And the pillar example that you were giving, like when Prahlad Maharaj said, like, he's present in every atom, all of a sudden Lord manifested himself in every atom, isn't it? And in the pillar. Yeah, okay. Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, can I just one thing about Tulsi Devi.
Please, go ahead.
That
yes, go ahead.
My understanding, I heard once that there are a few, like, self-manifested deities. I'm not sure if I'm using the proper term, but I would just make an exception when it comes to Tulsi Devi, you know, because we were talking about her as a plant with personality, but she, you know, she's different in that, you know, she is deity, actually, you know. Tulsi, she's not,
yeah, she is,
it wouldn't be the same. Yeah. So I would have just put her in a separate category, I guess, from
I was trying to make is the how we deal with it. Yes, she is a deity. She is a personality. We worship. We do aarti. We perform aarti. We respect. But at the same time, when the due maintenance is needed, then also it has been, you know, we do take that due maintenance on to the Tulsi Maharani also. She is a personality. She is a deity. But when it comes, like sometimes some insects come on the leaves, then we do make a natural spray and, you know, we spray it. But the due maintenance is to be taken. At that time, you know, that's what I was making. But yes, of course, your point is 100% right, that she is not an ordinary plant. She is actually a deity. She is a pure Vaishnavi. Yes. Thank you for bringing
that
point.
And also, you know, when it comes to, you know, even though, you know, the inanimate objects are you know, don't manifest consciousness. You know, we as Vaishnavas, we do respect everything, animate and inanimate, because we recognize that everything is Krishna's energy. This is proper. So, you know, we don't treat anything with, let's say, any kind of disrespect, whether, you know, personality or no personality, we treat everything respectfully, because we recognize everything as Krishna's energy. So out of our reverence for Krishna, we respect everything. You know, even though, you know, like, so, you know, like, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Matiji.
No, I was just saying, you know, even though, like how you were saying, you know, sometimes you can't avoid, you know, stomping on the ground, or, you know, so many things we do in our ordinary day-to-day lives, but, you know, as we progress, I think we are more and more respectful of all Krishna's energies, animate and inanimate, just because they are from our beloved Krishna, yeah. Only that, Mataji.
So anything that is used in Krishna service, we do respect. What to talk about all this, even the utensils. Sometimes, you know, the utensils that we use, we scrub it, we put some another ladle, the spoon ladle, we make that noise. But at the same time, while making any kind of vegetable, but at the same time, we do respect those utensils. We just don't throw it. We just stamp it with our foot. We don't do it, because we know that the same utensils is being used in Krishna's service. We do have that respect for that utensils also, which is, again, an inanimate object. But having that consciousness that everything is used in Krishna's service, we have to respect everything. So, yes, thank you, Gaurangi Mataji, for bringing that point.
Yeah, I don't even know if I was even thinking about what we use in Krishna's service. I was just thinking, just in general, like electricity. You know, we don't waste electricity because it's Krishna's energy, or, you know, I mean, just anything at all. You know, hopefully we use everything in Krishna's service. You know, we don't see anything as outside of his service. But I was just trying to make the point that, you know, We don't see anything as not belonging to Krishna, and for that reason, we're respectful in our dealings with everything, you know. Not to belabor the point, but that's what I was trying to say.
Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare
Krishna.
Yeah, go ahead, Mataji. Shama Sapriya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Kirtida Mataji. Thank you so much for again this another wonderful, and the words are very falling short for me, Mataji, for explaining how you explain this class very, very diligently and making each and every point very clear, Mataji. And all the Matajis added the realization, and you made it more clear, Mataji. And after this question and answer session, Mataji, it is like everything is crystal clear, Mataji. The concept of Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. Thank you so much, Kirtida Mataji, again for this beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anasatya Mataji, for your kind words. Thank you. And glory to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so it's already 12:30. Let's sing just two verses to honor Vrinda Gopika Mataji's request, and then we end up. So I'll sing these two verses that I was mentioning in the class itself because it's related to the class. It's 5:35 and 5:37 and 5:38 of Brahma Samhita. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhi tabhirya eva nijarupataya kalabhi goloka eva nivasat akhilatma bhuto govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami srimanjana churita bhakti vilochanena Chanta sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti Yam shama sundaram achintya gunasarupam Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami.
Jai ho, Shri Brahmacharita ki jai. Jikriti da sundari mataji.
Jai. Jai.
Jai.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, Hare Krishna.